Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 25th day of May, 2021. And I'm thrilled to have on the program today a first-time guest that I've been meaning to and desiring to interview for quite some time. His name is Rodney C. Brown, Jr., a pastor and elder at the Metro Bible Church of Southlake, Texas. You've actually been hearing his voice for months on this program, as nearly every day, one of the versions of the NASB commercial that we air three times a day. The New American Standard Bible publishers are sponsors of this show, as you know, and one of the versions of those ads that we run has included on it with other pastors Rodney C. Brown's voice, because he also has the NASB as his Bible of choice, and we thank him for helping us with that ad campaign that continues to this day thanks to the generosity of the publishers of the NASB. We are going to be discussing today navigating through the treacherous waters of wokeness, a practical and pastoral guide, and we're also going to be promoting the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming up next month, coming up more quickly than you know it, the 11th and 12th of June, and that's going to be held in Denton, Texas, at the Denton Bible Church, and I will be there, God willing, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor's booth. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Rodney C. Brown, Jr.
Well, thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be with you and just delighted to finally be on your show. I really do sincerely appreciate the work you do, and I'm just so edified by so many of these interviews and the way you do it, the way you break these things down for us. So thank you.
Well, it's an honor for me to hear that from somebody of your caliber. And why don't you let our listeners know something about Metro Bible Church of Southlake, Texas?
Sure. Well, Southlake is just north of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're out near the airport. Been pastoring there for 16 years. It was originally a Denton Bible Church plant, and it is a sweet body of believers. I would say what distinguishes us in a positive sense from so many others around here is that not only are we passionate about expositional preaching and elder leadership, real shepherding, but we are absolutely committed to life on life discipleship in a way that I've never seen before. And that's all owing to God's grace and to this sweet family of believers, but very much involved in one another's lives, in a 2 Timothy 2:2 fashion, entrusting these truths to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And we're just so excited to be a part of this conference coming up because we've seen this coming down the pike for some time and really didn't know how to, how to be part of the solution, how to, as one beggar sharing with another beggar where the food is. You know, what we're learning. Like Alistair Begg says that. Here's what we're learning about it, and so we want to share, and I think this conference provides the opportunity.
And what would be the theological makeup of the Metro Bible Church?
So we're Reformed, Calvinistic. I would say we have a lot of time to, we've had a lot of opportunities to take our doctrine out for a spin, so to speak. So in Dallas-Fort Worth, we have three seminaries. We have Presbyterian Seminary, I believe it's it was Westminster. I think it's RTS now. We have Dallas Seminary. We have Southwestern. And yet with all this teaching, it seems like Dallas-Fort Worth always seems to be ground zero for something new and novel. So as the pastor who trained me, we love to not only study the Bible with a heavy, clear understanding on the sovereign goodness of God and depravity of man, His sweet election on our lives and on purchasing a bride at the cross, but also in winsomely but courageously defending the faith with the true gospel. So we hold fast to the doctrines of grace. We unashamedly teach and preach them. And yet, I would say, Chris, we do it with a lot of first generation Christians. You know, Metro Bible is a very young church, chronologically. The average age is about 32. A lot of first-generation Christians, a lot from broken homes, and yet we preach a heavy, clear doctrine, and as it should be, and it is really embraced. It's sweet in a sea of seeker-sensitive churches and light and bright preaching. Our people crave the Word of God. I'm very thankful for that.
Amen. And if anybody wants to explore the website of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, that website is metrobible.org, metrobible.org. And, you know, it just occurred to me, I started to chuckle to myself when I asked you what the theological makeup of Metro Bible Church is. I had posted on my Facebook page a meme of a quote by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And the quote was, "I ask you not if you are a Wesleyan, a Baptist, or a Presbyterian. I only ask, are you born again?" And one after another, people who know me kept saying, "No, you ask if you're a Calvinist." And I had to respond, "Yes, but context, context, context."
Yeah.
Obviously, Spurgeon was just as concerned, if not more concerned as I am, about what someone believes in regard to the theology, but he was making the very clear point that one can claim theologically to be anything, but if you're not born again, you're going to hell just as fast if you are a professing Calvinist who is not born again as a professing Jehovah's Witness or whatever you are. If you do not have the life of Christ in you, you could memorize the scriptures, and you could know the ins and outs of theological a theological dictionary, but you need repentance and faith that is truly a gift of God and not an artificial profession.
And amen.
So we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first time guest on the program, a first time guest that's a Christian, there are rare occasions when I interview people who are not Christians because they have something to say that is very valuable for the body of Christ. And for some reason, that is a rare occasion, but I do sometimes air non-Christians. And I make it clear that I'm not an ecumenist or that the person doesn't share my belief in the gospel, etc. But when I have a Christian on, I always have them, when they are on the first time, give a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of theological or religious background they were raised in, if any, And what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them? And so if you could, please give us your story.
Oh, well, that's a great question. And what a great opportunity to share the sweet love of our Lord in saving his treasonous creation, so to speak, of which I certainly was. You know, it's interesting. I would have said growing up that I grew up in just kind of a picture-perfect Christian home, but it really wasn't until I got older that I realized at a young age both my parents became believers, and it radically not only changed their lives, but it changed how they raised me in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. My father was raised Roman Catholic, wanted nothing to do with the Bible, wanted thought Protestantism was a cult. My mother was raised in moralistic Protestantism. But by God's grace, through relationships and through the preaching of God's Word, he not only saved both of them, but radically changed their life to where they made the local church just the very center of our family. And so at a young age, started sitting under the Word of God, and I remember very distinctly, I was probably 7 or 8, just having a overwhelming sense of my sin and the judgment that would accompany it. And after hearing, obviously, the gospel many times, but I'm certainly sure that I didn't understand repentance and faith. I remember getting down on my knees in my father's study and just entreating the Lord to save me and to make me one of his own. I had the privilege then, after getting saved, of being able to go to a Christian school and be part of a good church. But there was another facet of my sanctification that the Lord used mightily, and it was when I started college. It was in the mid-80s, and there was a real estate and oil crash here in Texas. My father lost his job, and we ran out of money, so I had to come home. And I said, well, Dad, I don't want to. I was going to Baylor University at the time. I said, well, Dad, I want to go somewhere. So I went to a nearby college, University of North Texas, was not happy about it, and found a church. I need to find a church up here. So I went to Denton Bible Church back in 1987. And I thought at that time, being a Christian who had been to Christian school, grown up in church, that I understood salvation well. And I would say that I understood justification, but I did not understand or have a good theology of God's sweet providence or his goodness. And Tommy Nelson was a young pastor at the time, and he was preaching expositionally. And I just remember having several months where I was gritting my teeth, even as a believer, because he was preaching a God that was different than my picture. and how the Lord just wore me down and gave me a clear understanding of, I would say, a biblical anthropology of who I was and what God really accomplished at salvation. And he used that catalyst to later on put me in ministry. So those are two very important points in my life where the Lord not only saved me, but then he directed me. And I would say both came directly from the preaching of God's Word. So.
And when did you realize that God had placed a call upon your life to enter into the ministry?
Yeah, that's interesting, Chris, because I probably have a different take than most people. I remember sitting down after graduating from college, and Paige Patterson at the time was president of Criswell College. His son and I were friends. I was sitting at his kitchen table and bragging about the job that I just got in international trade, and he was encouraging me to go to seminary, and I really wanted nothing to do with it. And I went into business, enjoyed it, worked for a good man for many years, but was part of a church plant. And about 10 years into my career, I realized I've got to get equipped. Well, I'll go to seminary, but I'm just going to go just to become a better Sunday school teacher and maybe start a lay institute. And I was out at the Shepherd's Conference about halfway through my seminary. My job was going well. I'd started my own business. I was going gangbusters in that in my mind. And the Lord just convicted me. And I remember thinking, I don't even remember who was preaching, but I remember thinking very distinctly, Lord, if you let me preach, I'll walk away from all this. And not only did he draw me into ministry, in that sense, vocational ministry, but he opened doors that I never should have been the pastor of Metro Bible Church. I never was experienced enough, and yet he just continued to place me in situations and place faithful men around me that helped me. And so I took the pastorate in 2005, and Metro has been the only church I've ever pastored, and hopefully I will be the only one. Hopefully I'll buy a gravestone here if they'll keep me.
Amen. Well, did Paige Patterson ever find out that you became a Calvinist?
Absolutely. I had to go repent to Paige. I had to repent to him even more when I went to Dallas Seminary instead of Southwestern. So, yeah. It's just I would just encourage any of your listeners. You know, if regardless of whether you're considering vocational ministry or not, there's really one calling in the New Testament. It's a call to follow Christ, and getting more equipped to do what you do better doesn't necessarily mean seminary, but it does mean getting more serious about getting equipped and understanding your Bible more. And that's how it started with me. You never know what the Lord's going to do with you.
Well, tell us now. You already mentioned it, but tell us now in more detail about the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference that I have been announcing every day,
sure.
Where you are one of the speakers and where, again, I will, as I said earlier, I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for the first time in Texas. I've never spent an entire day in Texas in my life, and I'll be spending nearly 5 days, I guess, because I'm going to be coming early and leaving a little after the conference, since my brother, my oldest brother, John, who's 76 and has cancer and critical stage emphysema and an inoperable aneurysm, he lives nearby, and I'll be visiting with him and his family, and I ask the listeners to please pray for my interaction with my brother, since he does not know the Lord, and is obviously, with all these ailments on top of his age, is on the brink of eternity. But tell us about this conference that I'm very excited to attend. Tell us more about it, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited just to be a part of it. I do a lot of work with Tom Buck, and we just had Daryl Harrison here this weekend. Owen was here a few weeks ago, and the purpose of this conference is really this, Chris. This is not a rally. This is not, some sort of, angry, let's get together and pound our drums. This is, saints gathering together and seeking to learn what we see as a very, strong, clear, adversarial position against the gospel. In fact, I'm preaching through Colossians right now, and it's just so clear when Paul is talking to the church in Colossae, he says, you know, in chapter 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, that this seems to fit, albeit a different heresy. You know, worldly wisdom is always either lowering God or raising man. It's seeking to supplant the person and work of Jesus Christ and replace it with either moralism or a structure whereby we gain our own forgiveness, our own favor with God. We seek to look better, but it's apart from the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And And this philosophy, I think Tommy said it a couple weeks ago, what's so damning about it is that it is atheistic. It's not built upon the foundation of God's word, but it's built upon the wisdom of men. And so when we started putting this conference together, we thought, okay, you know, it's very important that we hit the right tone, the right tenor. It's very important that we not only equip well, but that we're able to gather together and exalt our Lord Jesus Christ, worship. And I like to think of it this way. You know, you've heard the old adage about the FBI, you know, studies the original, those in the counterfeit department, study the original so clearly and so well that they can discern a fake, you know, from, you know, a few yards away. And so this didn't come about just because we simply wanted to take the latest flavor coming down the pike and beat on it a little bit, but that we felt like we needed to understand the gospel more clearly and how this is in direct opposition to Christology, how it not only impacts our justification, our understanding, but also our sanctification. So we're going to have several main sessions. We're going to have a time of explanation. Owen's going to do a great job of just walking us through and explaining terms, lining it up against Scripture. Tom Buck is doing a breakout session on woke hermeneutics to teach us to recognize when pastors and preachers take the Word of God and twist it to fit this new ideology. We're going to have preaching out of Colossians. Tom Nelson is going to preach out of the Old Testament. And then we're going to do a lot of singing together, worship. We're going to be able to come in and visit ministries like you. And the reason we wanted to do this is for church members, for Christians, and for people who are even not yet Christians but are seeking to understand this. This is not some sort of pastor's conference. This is not some sort of conference that only seminarians would go to. This is for the bride of Christ to gather together and learn how to give a defense for the hope that is within us and how to recognize error and how to be able to share this understanding with their church and with their friends. And thus the topic today, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about how do I practically navigate these waters.
And the speakers include Dr. Owen Strand, who you've been hearing mentioned by our guest, Daryl Bernard Harrison, who's going to be my guest, God willing, on Thursday, this Thursday, to discuss this theme under a different subheading, Pastor Tommy Nelson, who we've had on the program recently, and Pastor Tom Buck, who was actually our first guest on the program a number of weeks ago when we started promoting this conference. Of course, you, Rodney C. Brown Jr., and someone that I've got to arrange an interview with that I have not yet arranged an interview with, Pastor Charles Stolfus. And so I've got to get him on the phone at some point after the show today and see if we could get him on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio before the conference as well. I'm very excited to hear of the response to this conference that I believe you have over 1,100 now registered?
I think we're going to hit 1,200 today.
Wow, praise God.
It's multiplying quickly, and we're overwhelmed. We're really, really encouraged. And not only that, Chris, they're coming from all over. We've got 31 different states. And even, you know, 2.5 weeks out, where plane tickets are getting expensive, you know, I think people signed up from California yesterday, Oregon, Arizona. They're coming from all over. And so our goal really is to make this not only a good experience, but something that will equip well. And I know each one of these men, and they not only know their stuff. They've been studying this for years. My goodness, Daryl Harrison was writing. He was writing about this 10 years ago. Tom Buck and I started studying this and looking at it 7 years ago when we we started to see just red flags in some of the ministries that we were involved with. Of course, Owen has thought deeply about it. I'm reading his manuscript right now. His book comes out in 2 months. It is absolutely outstanding. It's clear. It's easy to understand, and yet it is just, it's rich, the depths of which I'm going to reread it when I finish this. And so we're just so thankful. We know the Lord's doing something very, very special. And Tommy Nelson, I had dinner with him yesterday. He is totally behind this, and he's taking a beating for it, to be honest, Chris. I mean, all these guys are. But, you think someone who had been in ministry almost 50 years would be given the benefit of the doubt when he says this is the most insidious thing I've seen come down the pike in his ministry. And he was immediately just lambasted. People mocked him. How could you treat CRT this way? You're overreacting. You're just some, old boomer, blah, blah, blah. And, but he's standing firm because he realizes that we're called to protect the flock. And, that's not only feeding them well, that's also teaching them what not to eat.
And who are lambasting these men? Who are attacking them other than perhaps just the leaders and the movers and shakers of this heretical movement?
Well, that's primarily it, but we've noticed, and I do my best to stay off social media, though I'm probably a voyeur. I watch a little bit. And we've noticed that there's entire groups of followers in some big Eva that immediately attack when it doesn't fit an agenda. And so, to be honest, Chris, I've taken a different approach here because a lot of these guys are my friends and I've known for years. And so I've reached out and I've given personal invitations to pastors and friends and well-known authors who I know would openly disagree or would be very suspect with what we're doing, and I've invited them to come. And I've said, please, will you come? I'll pay for your ticket. Just come hear us out. Match it up against the Word of God. If we're overreacting, it's going to show itself in a matter of 24, 36 months, tops. I mean, time and truth go together. But here's the thing is, if we're seeing it rightly, And this is, in fact, an adversary to the gospel, then we cannot take it seriously enough. And I'm kind of disappointed at the responses I'm getting, honestly.
Well, we are going to our first station break right now. And if you would like to join us with a question about the wokeness movement, the social justice warrior movement, the critical theory movement, the intersectionality movement, the cancel culture movement. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Well,
when Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness in the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness in the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies,
Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gatti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gatti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gatti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
And we want to thank Dr. Banu Gatti for renewing his sponsorship of our program for another full year. We are indebted to him in far greater ways than I can even adequately express in the English language, which is obvious from the way I'm stammering and stuttering here. But Dr. Gatti has been a true blessing to this program and cares about it, its existence. And so we just are obviously thrilled that he has renewed his annual sponsorship for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please thank him when you hear the contact information being given during his radio commercial. Please write it down and contact him and thank him for thinking so highly of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that he uses a portion, a very generous portion of his income to keep the show in existence. Well, we are back with our guest today, Rodney C. Brown, Jr., who is a pastor and elder at Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. We are discussing navigating through the treacherous waters of wokeness, a practical and pastoral guide. And this is to promote the upcoming Wokeness and the Gospel Conference, June 11th and 12th in Denton, Texas. If you want more details about the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference, go to wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. And we have, in fact, a friend of mine, Ed Moore, who has been a friend of mine going back to the early 90s, pastor of North Shore Baptist Church in Bayside, Queens, New York. I usually don't give out full names of my listeners when they send in questions, but since I want to plug his church, since it's such a theologically sound one, I wanted to give out the full name and the full name of the church, North Shore Baptist Church of Bayside, Queens. And Pastor Ed says, "Welcome, Pastor Brown. As we get started, I want to know, is it difficult to fight wokeness and sustain a laughing revival at the same time?" Ed has a sense of humor, and he couldn't resist because of the similarities of your name to Rodney Howard Brown. Yes, I can assure you, folks, there is no relation.
I am not the Rodney Howard Brown.
And that's one of the reasons I'm emphasizing your middle initial C. So nobody even thinks for a second that you are related to that charlatan. But I just thought that I'd give a little comic relief there, and Ed is sure to provide it whenever he has an opportunity. If anybody wants to find out more about North Shore Baptist Church, by the way, in Bayside, Queens, don't use that joke as a litmus test. It's an excellent church. Go to ns-bc.org, NS for North Shore, -bc for baptistchurch.org. Well, perhaps we should start. You've already gotten into some of the background of wokeness, and we've had many programs on this subject, not only because we've been promoting the conference, Wokeness and the Gospel, in Denton, Texas, but also because it's a very important topic to address, since it is agreed by many people who I highly respect to be one of the most dangerous heresies of our modern age. But even though we have addressed this many times, there are people who are listening for the first time to this show, and there are people who may have only heard wokeness described in the media and the secular media, and they're not really getting an accurate picture. Why don't you give us a summary of what it stands for, and then we can move into your specific duty today, which is to provide a practical and pastoral guideline, how to navigate through the dangerous and treacherous waters of this heresy.
Sure, yeah. You know, it helps to, it's an umbrella term. I can list off several terms that would fall under it. You know, there's social justice, intersectionality, critical race theory, economic restoration, white supremacy, equal outcome, Black Lives Matter, all this can fall underneath it. But it all finds its roots in a socialistic ideology. I remember several years ago I was traveling in Hawaii meeting with a pastor there named Jay Wright, great guy, and this was years ago, and I said, what do you think about this whole social justice movement? And he'd been around the block enough to say, you mean socialism? And I thought that was, he was very attuned to what was going on. If you know anything about, you know, socialism, which obviously, you know, comes from Marxism, Marx and Engels, it is an atheistic philosophy that stands against a clear understanding of a biblical anthropology, a depravity of man. Is atheistic. God is does not exist or is not the answer. And so whatever we see entering the church has flavors of that. And as a result, the goals and the end results are contrary to the gospel. If you think about it, it is the gospel that forgives. It is wokeness ideology that condemns. It is the gospel that unites. It is wokeness ideology that divides based upon a myriad of factors. And you may say, well, I'm only focusing on this aspect, but it's a boxcar theology. It means that, you may only agree that we want racial reconciliation, which is a very popular term. You need to realize the baggage that will come with that also includes intersectionality. And you know, also includes many times queer theory, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It goes down. And so that's why we get so much of the response. You guys are overreacting. Don't you care about the oppressed? And so the way I started in educating our flock was, with a disclaimer. I said, just because we disagree with these philosophies out there that divide people by race, by color, by gender, by economic status, whatever, doesn't mean that we don't agree that we want to help people. And we first want to help people with what matters most, and that means the estate of their soul. And with that, we don't just minister to people the estate of their soul, but we help them. We care for them. And at Metro Bible Church, we not only give you the gospel, but we walk with you in feeding you. And we also help sometimes, you know, change careers. We help provide for people. You know, we do bring about justice, but it's a biblical justice. It's a justice without partiality. And so it is hard to describe, but I would say it this way. Wokeness ideologies are an umbrella term for philosophy, a worldly philosophy that finds its roots in a Marxist ideology that is now showing itself in partiality based upon ethnicity or based upon gender or based upon, to use a modern term, sexuality. And when this enters the church, it has the exact opposite effect of what the gospel does. It does not unite. It always divides. It does not free one from guilt. It always brings about guilt. It does not provide forgiveness. It brings about condemnation. And it all starts with those two anchors that have been loosed from their moorings, if you will, the anchors of who the Bible says God is and who man is. And God is supremely holy. He is the creator. He is righteous. He is just. Man is, as a result of the Adamic fall and his own choices, is supremely corrupt, is totally depraved. All his thoughts, all his desires prior to coming to Christ may not be as wicked as they could be, but they are always self-serving. And so to embrace an ideology that goes back, as Colossians says, and takes on the characteristics of the old man is, it's very cunning by Satan. I would put it that way. He's using the exact opposite of the gospel to infiltrate the church and to distract from the truth. And he's being very effective right now.
Yeah, and you everything that you are saying adds to the proof that it is really a lie. This is a bait and switch situation. For those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with that term, bait and switch is where somebody, a company, for instance, is advertising something, and when you go to the store or you order online or over the phone, whatever it is you think you're buying, you're getting something of infinitely less value than that which you saw or heard about in an ad. Well, as far as racial reconciliation, everything that you just said indicates that there really is no intended reconciliation at all.
There never has been, and that's the point. Is I believe there's two people, two leaders in this movement. There are those who sincerely know exactly what they're doing and have nefarious motives, and I think there are those that are willfully ignorant. And I'm going to be very careful about saying that because the Bible does not exonerate false teachers. In fact, if you look at Jude and 2 Peter, it is very clear about the motives. But I believe this second group that is willfully ignorant does not realize that the end result is not unity. It is disunity. It is disillusionment. It is increased partiality. It is increased envy. It is increased hate. And there is not forgiveness, nor will there ever be. There is only penance, but that penance is never satisfied. And so we told our congregation, and when I started this series, I said, let me just explain something. We do not divide over tertiary issues here. It's wonderful if you want to have strong convictions about that, but we do not divide over tertiary issues. This is not a tertiary issue. We all stand naked at the foot of the cross. No one is to stand in judgment over one another. None of us deserve what Christ has given us through his death and resurrection.
Amen. So
this bit about, you know, people acting as your judge or because of the melanin count in your skin, you are guilty by way of systemic racism. I mean, that's, come on. The Bible does not deal with people according to either corporate guilt, nor does it deal with you according to the guilt of your fathers. That is contrary to Scripture. And frankly, I think one reason why this is being accepted, to use a term like your bait and switch, hook, line, and sinker, is because pastors are not dealing with this in their congregation because it feels like a landmine. They've got a split congregation. Some believe it, some are sympathetic, the other ones aren't, and they're trying to ride two horses, not realizing they're going to lose out on both sides. And that's one thing I'm going to talk about at the conference. And I'm going to be hard on pastors. I'm going to encourage them and equip them, but I'm going to be hard on them. Look, you guys signed up to care for a flock. Hebrews 13:17 makes it clear that we're going to give an account for the souls that have been put in our care. That means you must deal with this. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you in reputation. It's even going to cost you in some members. But you got to go pursue sheep who are eating poisonous berries. And you got to help them understand. And that's not one sermon. That is getting down in the lives of people and walking with them until they understand and being patient. That's a 1 Thessalonians 5:14. You're dealing with them according to the heart attitude. But you've got to pursue them because, you know, what we're reading in Hebrews right now is drifting has a destination, Chris. Yeah, we're saved by grace through faith. We have eternal security. But genuine faith does not drift from the faith very long.
Amen.
Come back.
Amen. And when we come back from our midway break, we're going to be getting into the heart of practical and pastoral counsel regarding this horrible heresy, wokeness. And please, if you have pastors that you know who could certainly learn from this, in fact, every pastor that you know could learn from this, whether it's your own or others, why don't you get on the phone during our station break and contact them or email them or text them or private message them or any way else you communicate these days and tell them to go to ironsharpensironradio.com and start listening to this program because they don't want to miss the valuable content that will be coming up next after the midway break. Also, folks, remember, this is a longer break than the other breaks in the show, so please be patient with us. Use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can provided by your advertisers during this break so you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. And if you can't patronize them, if you can't buy their products and use their services or visit their churches or contribute to their parachurch organizations, at the very least, please respond to our advertisers to thank them for sponsoring this show, if indeed you love this show and you really want it to stick around. That will go a long way in keeping our advertisers happy because we absolutely positively depend upon our advertisers to exist. We need the income that comes from the advertisers. So please write down as much of the information that they provide as possible so that you could more frequently and successfully respond to them. And also write down questions for Rodney C. Brown, Jr., pastor of Metro Bible Church of Southlake, Texas, on navigating through the treacherous waters of wokeness, a practical and pastoral guideline. We'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel,
It is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you're not owing me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally,
If you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, how vital solid-ground-books.com is to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a vital advertiser on this program, and without the income that comes from their advertising campaigns, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God, of course. So we ask of you to please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature, both those treasures from the past that sometimes have been long forgotten through the centuries of history and have been rediscovered and brought back into print, but also those new things, those new books that have been brought into print by such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. It is truly a superb publishing ministry, and you can never go wrong purchasing something from solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com. Keep that website somewhere handy in every room in your house, whether it be a post-it note on your laptop screen, a note with a refrigerator magnet held to the door of your refrigerator. Anywhere else that you frequently look, have solid-ground-books.com written somewhere as a reminder, especially with all the reasons coming up why you might be purchasing gifts for those you love, such as wedding anniversaries, such as Father's Day. We could go on and on and on with reasons why you purchase gifts for those you love. So just never forget solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our guest today, Rodney C. Brown, Jr., pastor and elder at Metro Bible Church of Southlake, Texas, who is also one of the speakers at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference this June 11th and 12th in Denton, Texas, at the Denton Bible Church, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth once again. Well, not once again. I've never been to Denton, Texas before, but once again, meaning I'll be manning another exhibitor's booth. before I return to that discussion with Pastor Brown, we have some important announcements to make. You've been hearing the commercials for the G3 conference. Some of those ads include a mention of Vody Balcom as one of the speakers on the roster. There is now a question mark next to Vody Balcom's name because, for those of you who do not know, not long ago he suffered a serious health setback and had quadruple bypass surgery. So he is recovering, and from what I understand, he's doing well, but he is not out of the woods, and it is left to be seen whether he is going to be well enough, healthy and strong, and energetic enough to be able to resume his post as one of the speakers at the G3 conference. So please pray for Vody that he fully recovers, in fact, perhaps that he's stronger and healthier than ever before as a result of this trial in his life. And I know that his wife and many children want him around a lot longer, as does the body of Christ, at least those that truly appreciate him, like I do. We want him to stick around this earth, as heaven is definitely a better option. We want him here for as long as possible to continue to bless the body of Christ with his wisdom and his gifts. So continue to pray for Vody Balcom. Also, mark on your calendars. Although every day is an excellent day to tune into Iron Trip and Zion Radio, because we always have excellent guests, in my opinion, and excellent topics Monday through Friday. But this Thursday, we have one of the speakers at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference returning to this program, Daryl Bernard Harrison. He is not only on the team, the ministerial team at Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur, but he is also co-host of the Just Thinking podcast along with Virgil Walker. And so they are possibly even going to be together this Thursday. We haven't heard a confirmation from Virgil whether he'll be joining Daryl, but we certainly have Daryl scheduled, and I look forward to that. Also, folks, if you love this radio show and you do not want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. We really need your help, folks, financially. We have had a horrible setback because of the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic has seriously hurt financially many people in our audience, and the giving has gone down. Some of our listeners' businesses have been not only crippled, but some of them have been brought to extinction because of the governmental hysteria and horrible and unnecessary mandates and restrictions and closures and all kinds of things that have harmed businesses. Well, it has trickled down to the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please help us make up for that which was lost. Go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a check the old-fashioned way, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through the Postal Service, well, a physical address will appear on your screen also when you click support at ironsharpensionradio.com. You could also advertise with us for your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, whether you are a doctor, a lawyer, a special event that you're having, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. We would love to hear from you. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, folks, I never want anybody listening to siphon money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Please never do that. Also, don't put your family in further financial jeopardy and peril if you are really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture to provide for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God in Scripture, obviously. But if you love this show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for trivial or recreational purposes, pocket money, etc. You have extra money. Well, please, if you love this show, use some of that money to help us to remain in existence. There are between 30 and 40,000 people that download the recordings of this show every month, and a tiny percentage of that huge number give to the program. I am not saying that to undermine or undervalue the very generous benefactors that we have, those that have been giving every month going back to 2005 when we first went on the air, and also new donors. I thank God for you more than I can possibly describe in the English language. I am so grateful to you and grateful to God for you. But it is a comparatively small number of people who are doing so, compared to 30 and 40,000 a month. So please, if you're in that number that every month, every day you download programs and you love them and benefit from them and you share the free downloadable MP3s, but you never give and you are capable of giving, please help us out. We really need your help. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local theologically sound Bible-believing church, a real biblically faithful church, if you're not a member of one, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, including Metro Bible Church of Southlake, Texas. And I have helped many people in our audience find churches all over the globe that they didn't even know existed, sometimes within minutes from their own home. Or if they knew they existed, they did not know when they passed these churches every day that they were theologically sound. So, if you are in that category of being in need of a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Pastor Rodney C. Brown, Jr., of the Metro Bible Church of Southlake, Texas, on navigating through the treacherous waters of wokeness, a practical and pastoral guideline. Pastor Brown, you were saying before that unfortunately there are pastors who would even agree with you and I that this is a dangerous movement, this wokeness movement, might even believe, like you and I, that it could be the greatest assault on the gospel in the 21st century. But they prefer to stay out of the fight. They think they have no dog in this fight, as the saying goes. They would rather be a spectator and just wait for the dust to settle. I've asked almost every guest, if not every guest, that has addressed this issue, if Christians, especially those in leadership, have the liberty to do that. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I would say absolutely not. They do not have the liberty to do that, as Titus, you know, 1:9 is clear about. We not only teach formatively, but we also teach correctively. I think the misnomer in this case is even those who maybe even understand the danger think, well, it will pass. And we literally don't have that option. And I think what I would come back and say again is not only will it not pass, but what you win them with, you keep them with. And so you're not only going to be kicked to the curb by those who become woke. And by the way, the embracing wokeism is it never satisfies. It's never enough, because the only way, I think Owen said this well on your show, the only way, especially if you are white, heterosexual. The only way to atone is penance, the penance of anti-racism. You cannot just simply say, I disagree with racism. You can't even say, I'm not racist. And so when you win people in your congregation through nursing a grudge, that's a phrase I like to use a lot, you know, whether it be by their ethnicity or their gender or whatever else, when you're winning them with that nursing a grudge, it flies in the face of the gospel, especially in Colossians, chapter 3, when it talks about Christ who is our life, or in Galatians 2:20, those old things have passed away, new things have come, we're a new creation. Our identity is found in him. Well, when you place your ethnicity as your number one identity, or your sexuality, or your gender, or whatever as your identity, there will always be division. And so the pastors will lose those people eventually because he won't be vocal enough for the woke. And even if he is, he'll never be able to satisfy all the woke. But here's even the greater danger. Those in your congregation that end up seeing it rightly, and they will. They will give it enough time. They will have lost respect for you as their pastor because you were unwilling to lead. Teaching elders are to be on the cutting edge of understanding the depth of systematic theology, of preaching expositionally. We're always supposed to run harder and faster than the rest of the congregation. And so therefore, to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear, or to try to, as we say in Texas, to ride two horses, you're going to lose out on both sides. And I've had this conversation multiple times with pastor friends of mine who say, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying, Rod. Yeah, I know it's kind of a problem, but I just don't feel like I really need to address it right now. And as kindly as I can say it, I say, brother, you will have to address it. Address it when you can do it from the pulpit and these people are in your care. Don't address it when they vote with their feet and walk out.
Now, what would be some of the ways that you, as a faithful, Bible-believing pastor, an under-shepherd of a flock there in Southlake, Texas, what would some of the pastoral ways that you approach this issue that would have uniquely congregational problems regarding the woke movement?
Yeah, I love that question, Chris, and that's my passion is for congregational involvement, is for unity in the church. And this is, as I think MacArthur says it well. He says, evangelicals are always late to the game on this stuff, and if we're late to the game discernment-wise and theologically, we're even later to the game when it comes to practical implementation on how to handle it. And so this is what I hope to be my wheelhouse. We're learning daily. But here's what I do know, and I'll speak more about this at the conference. This has to be a top-down solution, meaning the elders have to be on the same page. At Metro Bible, we practice what's called unanimity. We don't make a decision. We don't vote as elders. We only agree on something when we all agree on it. And so what I would encourage fellow pastors, fellow elders, even just congregants, to encourage your pastors and elders to get on the same page. And if you have to take 30, 60, 90 days, it should not take longer than 60 days. But if you have to take a couple of months and you guys need to wipe everything off the church calendar and bury yourself in the book to understand this, you need to understand the depths of Christology. You need to understand the dangers of this movement. And I would say it needs to be understood with the twin lenses. Think about glasses, the twin lenses of our identity in Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. If you get those two lenses right, there's a whole lot that falls into place. And so understanding that, when we become believers through the gifts of faith and repentance, when we are regenerated, we are a new creation. We have a new identity, okay? There is no Jew, Greek, barbarian, Scythian. There's slave, freeman. It all becomes such a distant identity in the rearview mirror. It doesn't even come close to our identity in Christ. And then also understanding the sufficiency of Christ, that his what was accomplished at the cross with the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that, therefore, no one is to act as your judge. You know, if you look at the heresies in Galatia or in Colossae, they had a Jewish syncretism to it. And it was, it says in Colossians chapter 3, do not lie to one another. And I think what that's saying in context, because the verse, you know, shortly after it is, there's no Greek or Jew or slave or freeman. I think that lying to one another is basically saying you either need to be more like me, and so therefore you need to do this or not do that, or you need to quit being like you, but God has favor, and this is how you gain favor with God. So I would start, the first step is get your elders on the same page, knowing their Bibles, and then, as C.S. Lewis says, also understanding the bad philosophy, understanding how it compares. I would encourage, listen to Daryl and Virgil's 3.5-hour podcast on critical race theory. Read Vody's book, Fault Line. If your elders are just constantly looking to their pastor to do all their studying, you either need to tell them to get on board or you need to replace them. These guys need to be able to rightly handle the Word of God. And so once we get the elders on the same page, and they're acting as one man, then what we focused on here at Metro, what we're learning is we need a bulwark of men and women who also can understand this. Because, one, two, three, five, six elders can only impact so many people. And so I've got a group of future leaders that I disciple, about a dozen guys. They come to my house at 6 a.m. on Wednesday. We spend about an hour and a half together, and we go through a lot of really not only theology, but a lot of discernment, a lot of biblical counseling. They're in training to be elders one day, and it takes me about 4 to 5 years to develop an elder. But I get these guys on the same page, both theologically, ecclesiologically, practically, and then we spend enough time with them and their wives that they get on the same page as a family unit. And so now I've got 12 families that really understand what's going on, and most of those men are small group leaders. So then the next level would be, this is what we talk about in our small groups. So our small groups, while they have while we have prayer and fellowship and Bible study, it's all important, it's primarily for pastoring. And so we go through the application of the previous week's sermon. And so if you kind of think about this top-down approach, elders are on the same page, preaching it from the pulpit, training, you know, a dozen men or how many you can get together, a dozen families really is what it ends up being. Promulgating it through shepherding pastorally with great patience through small groups, and then finally also having those small group leaders, in addition to their small groups, do personal life-on-life discipleship. And then we watch the Word of God work. When someone says, hey, Pastor, I don't know that I agree with this, or I think you're making a big deal out of this, we turn and we say, hey, I'd be glad to talk with you about this. I want to spend time with you about this. Come and serve with us. You know, so the train's moving, and we're just saying, come with us, come serve, and we'll talk along the way. We don't stop the whole flock to turn around and address someone's grievances. We'll talk with them, but we want them to serve with us. And that's just a skeleton, but if I could give that to any pastor and say, move that dial by working it from the top down, then I would say the Lord will honor it.
We have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I am a member of a church that I love, where the teaching is excellent and thoroughly biblical. But sadly, it is one of those churches where this topic appears to be taboo, although I hope it is not always going to remain that way. There seems to be a fear of offending people unnecessarily, and therefore it is not being brought up at the pulpit or in Bible studies. My question is, how do we, in humility, approach our elders about this and lovingly rebuke them for this? It has come to the point when, even during private conversations with fellow members of the church, people are wondering when we do public outreach and evangelism, whether or not we should invite black people in the community into our own church, or whether we are obligated to refer them to a predominantly black church, because that seems to be the woke ideology, which amazingly is the same ideology of racists in the past who believed thoroughly in segregation. Tell me what you think I should do in regard to our leaders. What an excellent question. And I am immediately thinking of somebody. I'm not going to mention this person's, name, even though they're deceased. But there is a very well-known pastor that's highly regarded for his theological acumen and his abilities to preach and teach and so on. He was a Southern Baptist pastor, very famous one, and leader. But he was a segregationist. And I can even remember when he was being asked about this during an interview in on a secular news program years ago. He was asked about his views on segregation, and he said with a big smile on his face, "Well, you know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. It's just a well-known fact that people who look alike, who are from the same backgrounds, they just get along better and have a more enjoyable time in this life and a more productive time when they're with their own. And so that's why we believe it's better that people who are from the black community stay with their own, and people with the white community stay with their own, and the people from the Hispanic community stay with their own." And this, the amazing thing is that the vast majority of enlightened individuals would view that as being racist. In fact, the Apostle Paul would, as far as I'm concerned. But today, that is being basically taught by the woke movement. Isn't this insane?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And if I could address this, first of all, I appreciate that question so much, because it sounds like it's coming from a heart to be part of the solution rather than the problem. And I just, as an elder, I mean, I can handle anything as long as someone comes to me with the right heart. And so just, I appreciate that. And if I could address the second part of it first, because, you know, everyone's going to respond to what you just said, rightly so, and say with righteous anger, that is blasphemous, as they should, and I wholeheartedly agree. And then we're sort of left with, yeah, but I don't know practically how to do it right. Do I then just go target different skin colors or different cultures, or do I value someone over the other? And if I could just take a minute and speak with what the Lord's doing at our church, which is so undeserving of us, but we just give him all the glory because it's so exciting. We're not a large church. We're in a predominantly white area, a very wealthy area, though our church is not wealthy. And we determined a few years ago that, you know what, that real missions outside the four walls of this church is asking ourselves, what people are we not reaching and why? It makes no difference what color, what tribe, what culture, whatever, but who are we not reaching, okay? And so we drew like a circle, you know, a 10-mile circumference around, and we said, who are we not reaching? We realized, you know what? We've got a lot of Latinos in this area. We need to reach Latinos, okay? And yet there is a language barrier. So I started to learn Spanish. Lord providentially provided a Peruvian intern. We took bold moves, and we started singing some of our verses in Spanish. I learned to even occasionally preach in Spanish, okay? But here's the interesting thing. We did that not because they were Hispanic or because they were a different color, but because we weren't reaching them. And that was the only reason. And here's the interesting thing. Do you know who the Lord brought us? He didn't bring us what we expected. We expected for him to bring us Mexicans. He brought us lots of South Americans. And if you look at the makeup of even our worship team today, I joke with them. I said, how did you guys ever end up here? I mean, I've got a Congolese, a, a Peruvian, a Chileno, a Brit, an Indian, a half Indian. I mean, you know, and we joke about it because none of it was based upon tribalism or race. It was based upon people sharing the gospel with another and breaking down those barriers to get the gospel to them. And so I agree. That is, not only is that blasphemous, but the response is pursue anyone and everyone with the gospel and then let the Lord make up your church, however he'll do it. And I reject this anti-racism, this birds of a feather, which, like you said, is the new, that is the new thing being repeated. I feel like I'm going back to the 60s, which is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the ideology of those who are opposed of racism, opposed to racism, and we have to admit that liberals really took charge of this years ago to the shame of conservatives and Bible-believing Christians. But not that there weren't Christians that believed in this and fought against racism, but I'm just saying it seemed that the fight against it was dominated by liberals. But the famous quote, and it's a very true quote, that was often used is the same quote or the same statement made in the famous speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. Not that I agreed with his theology or even view him as a bona fide regenerate Christian man. He did have some very heretical views that denied the pillars of the faith of Christianity. But he believed in viewing and treating his neighbor not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And the phrase that was often used by those who oppose racism was being colorblind. Now it's considered racist to be colorblind.
Yeah, and we have to fight back against, we have to push back against that. One of my friends says it well. He said, you know, it's hard when someone comes up and says, well, do you believe in Black Lives Matter? You know, and it's hard to give a full dissertation as to all the problems with that. And it sounds very uncompassionate, but here's how he responds initially to get the conversation going. No, I love black people too much to support that organization. You know, and it gives them a chance.
Excellent.
Hey, our new nature does away with identity politics. There is no tribalism. There isn't. I'll tell you the other thing is this wokeism. I was in international trade for 16 years and did a lot of work with USAID with underdeveloped countries. And I like to say this, even from an economic perspective, the very people you are trying to help with this ideology, the oppressed, quote-unquote, are the very people that will get the most hurt. It's just a true across the board. But if I could address how do you approach your elder with it, because here's the key. And this is where we need to start going with this. As people grow in discernment, how can I make a difference without coming across as arrogant, without becoming an adversary to my pastor or elders? And I think, first of all, you must, love believes all things. You must believe the best. Either they're not aware of it, or they're fearful, which I'm not giving them a pass on that, okay? Or worse yet, they're willfully ignorant, which I'm not giving them a pass on, okay? But let's do all those things short of being nefarious by not addressing it, okay? Fear of man. How do I deal with it? Well, being part of the solution, I would really encourage you, first of all, to be willing to put yourself in a situation where you might be dismissed. You might even be humiliated. But you're going to be willing to take it for the cause of Christ. And what I mean by that is ask your elders kindly, may I please come to the first few minutes of an elder meeting? And you go, and hat in hand, you express your concern. You're not there to win an argument, but you express your concern from what you're reading. Express your concern from what you're hearing. You may even take a few quotes or Twitter feeds from maybe people that your pastor respects that might be woke now, and go hat in hand and say, I'm concerned about this because this seems contrary to the gospel. And I'm asking, would you as elders be willing, rather than just responding to me, even though I'm sure you're well-learned, would you spend some time studying this, genuinely studying this? Would you at least read Vody's book? Would you at least read or listen to this? And ask them to engage, because many times there is one or two elders that really are very well aware of what's going on, and there are several others who are administrators. But if you can get all of these men studying the Bible together, and they are believers, I believe that the Holy Spirit will convict them. And then here's the thing. If they don't, be kind, meet with them again, do an exit interview, and then leave that church. But you don't leave nasty. You don't post it on social media. You don't rail against them. And you pray for them. But you do the best to make a change. And in many cases, wrapped in prayer, the Lord may change their hearts. They could just be fearful. And then when they hear a sheep that is saying, I need you to lead in this area, please, maybe the Lord will prick their heart to do so.
Yeah, just imagine if many, if not most Christians, followed that example and counsel during the days when segregation was dominant. And they approached their pastors about that this was, with the fact that this is a sinful practice and mindset. Just think of how things might have changed much earlier in this nation in regard to genuine bigotry and discrimination and hatred.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I think the stats are a pastor leaves a church over five vocal people. That pastor may be fearful because he thinks he's all alone in this.
Wow.
Let him hear from you.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because I have a number of friends, dear friends, who were driven out of churches for false reasons, unbiblical reasons. And in every case of the men that I particularly know in person very well, that was the very case, that it was a handful of people that weren't even necessarily leaders, but they were viewed as leaders because of the money they gave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have to go to our final break. It's a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, send it in immediately, because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. We'll be right back with Rodney C. Brown after these messages.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
This is
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back, and Pastor Brown, we have a question from John in Bangor, Maine, who says, there's an old saying that we can eat the meat and spit out the bones when it comes to teachers and authors and other leaders who have a great wealth of knowledge in many areas of life and perhaps the Bible, but have some erroneous, false, and perhaps even dangerous teaching. Can we have that liberty today when it comes to those who promote wokeness and yet may have other things of value to say?
Yeah, that's a good question. And if I could address one thing about that, because there is a challenge with Bible, sincere Bible-believing Christians who've gotten into discernment ministries who have a horizontal theological priority list. And so they will divide with everyone, even over matters of eschatology or call someone not a Christian if they take a different view on, polity or something. But the fact is that we can chew the meat and spit out the bones on secondary and tertiary issues. This is a primary issue because it impacts directly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I would say in this case we cannot, And the reason it does is because, again, these are atheistic ideologies. And that's one thing that is so concerning to me with you know, I hate to use the term, but with Big Eva here, with some of these well-known teachers, it's, you guys are more degreed than we are. You are more learned. You understand the original languages better than we do. Why are you allowing something to come stand against the gospel of grace? And that's really what this is. This is standing against the gospel of grace. And so therefore, you cannot eat it. It'd be like someone put a little bit of poison, you know, in your porridge. You just can't do it. And this will shake out, Chris. I mean, this is the sad part. For these fellows in the middle who are being drawn along by what I would call worldliness masked as compassion, or this new moralism, and it feels compassionate, it will shake out, and they will be men without a country, without a church, because they will never be liberal enough to completely go headlong into apostasy, and yet they will have walked away from the purity of the gospel. So I would say no, you can't.
Amen. And I would like you, I'm sorry for those of you who wanted your questions to be read live. We don't have time, but perhaps when we have Daryl Bernard Harrison on this Thursday, you can forward your questions then, or resend them, I should say. But if you could spend the next 3 minutes or so to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what I want, because I think I understand your listening audience, and I know they're not monolithic, but I think what I would encourage, that I would earnestly pray for, is to go back to that question, be part of the solution in keeping your church healthy. Meaning, study well, entreat your leaders to take a position, to shepherd through, even though it will be difficult. We're believers. We can work through this together because the Bible is our standard. But don't go off on your own on this thing. It does no good if you're right and you're alone. Do your best to bring your church along, to bring your pastor and elders along. If you're a pastor, get hold of Chris. He's got my number. Call me. Let me encourage you. Let me be a friend to you and walk through this with you. But take a stand. This is what we were called to do.
Amen. And by the way, Pastor Brown, send my regards to your lovely bride, Joy. It dawned on me, I finally put two and two together, who she was. She was the key person helping to orchestrate the sponsorship of the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference campaign on my program. And I just realized, wait a minute, Joy Brown, this is Pastor Brown's wife.
she's the one that gets all the credit. It is amazing what she's done. And she's got a better friendship and relationship with all the exhibitors and speakers. And, you know, I'm riding her coattails on this thing. We are very appreciative for her hard work. Thank you for mentioning that.
Amen. Well, don't forget, folks, that the conference, the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference, is being held at Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. I will be there, God willing, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth. I hope you join me. And for details, go to wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. I'm so excited to hear that nearly 1,200, maybe even over 1,200, are going to be attending. I hope many of you are listeners to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I hope to see you, some of you, for the first time ever, when you stop by my exhibitors booth and meet and greet me. And I look forward to us all learning together this June 11th and 12th in Denton, Texas. That's wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. Also, don't forget, to find out more information about Metro Bible Church in Texas, to be more specific, the Wokeness Bible Church I'm sorry. The Metro Bible Church.
We're not the wokeness Bible Church.
The Metro Bible Church in South Lake, Texas. Go to metrobible.org, metrobible.org. I want to thank everybody for listening today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.